the son of Clifford Barber. It's after breakfast on a sunny June morning in Seacliff, San Francisco. Andrew Barber, back home from the British Isles for the first time since childhood, may be seen moving cautiously along the hallway toward the stairs. He stiffens as he hears a voice in the kitchen.
Annie, where is Andrew? Where did the boy go? Oh, Annie!
Andrew races up to the third floor, two steps at a time. Now, on the top step, outside Paul's studio, he listens for the sound of a typewriter. Hears nothing, and so knocks.
Come in, whoever you are. Oh, Andy, come right in, son. Glad to see you. I've not interrupted, I hope. Never more welcome. Shut the door. This is one of those mornings when I have nothing in my head but the pleasant June breeze. What you doing, son? How'd you sleep?
Oh, very well, thanks. The room is most comfortable, and everyone is kind, especially Grandfather. Nothing is quite real to me yet. Very agreeable, but somewhat Alice in Wonderland.
Have you met Pinky?
Yes, at breakfast.
Find him advertised?
Well, even more so, Uncle Paul. Yet I suppose he's extremely well-balanced for a man who's just inherited a fortune.
You should have seen him last week.
That's what I hear. You know, everything back home is larger than life, really. It's an adventure story printed in neon light. I'm sure I've been in a daze ever since my first glimpse of New York. Even now, I keep expecting to wake up and find my landlady knocking at my door with a morning cup of tea.
How much did you remember of all this?
Oh, I had only the vaguest sort of memories of this house, so I do remember the skyline. It's odd to be home and yet homesick for Britain. Seems disloyal somehow.
Now, that's what happens when you fly these days. Your body arrives before your mind. You need time to readjust.
I know that is true. Well, I mustn't intrude too long. Uncle Paul, my dad said whenever I find myself in a box, see you at once. He said you were the world's expert at prying people out of boxes.
Oh? Girl?
Oh, Tove, not at all. Please don't misunderstand, but it's Grandfather.
Ah.
Yes, sir. Grandfather's making plans for a giant welcome home festival. Intends to bring in young women whom I don't know with a dance band and put a canopy over the terrace. The truth is, I can't abide that sort of thing.
You don't dance?
Oh, in a way, of course. But I'm much better equipped to meet a few people at a time.
Have you said so?
To Grandfather?
It might be wise to express yourself firmly right from the beginning.
Dad said something of the sort, too. I hate to seem unappreciative, but, well, the truth is I have an alarming suspicion that Grandfather is really fired up to marry me off to someone. I know that sounds feather-headed, but that's the only conclusion I can come to.
Andy, do you realize you're the only grandchild of your generation who will carry on the family name?
Yes, he wrote me something of the sort once or twice, but I couldn't believe it counted so heavily.
You must realize your grandfather's not a young man any longer. He's a pretty one-track fella now and persistent. You'll have a welcome home party whether you want one or not, unless you take a position.
I admire him very much. I wouldn't hurt him for the world.
Then take dancing lessons.
There must be some other way.
I know only one. Stand up and be confident.
Dad warned me that Grandfather's a very forceful personality. I'd forgotten just how forceful he really is. Well, I won't keep you. Thanks a lot.
Hazel, where did Andrew go, do you know?
I'm seeing since breakfast.
Well, goodbye, Uncle Paul.
Good luck, son. Come back any time, box or not.
Thanks. I'll work on the first nail right now. Hello down there.
Grandfather, are you engaged, sir?
We'll return in just a moment to One Man's Family.
Here is the Honorable Herbert H. Lehman with a message from the National Multiple Sclerosis Society.
To borrow a line from Shakespeare, one man in his time plays many parts, and a part of our lives is made up of our relationships with our fellow men. When they are well, they work with us. When they are sick, we work with them. This is the month when the National Multiple Sclerosis Society asks your aid in its MS Hope Chest campaign. More than 500,000 Americans are suffering from multiple sclerosis and closely related diseases. The impact of this crippling disease on the home and on the community is tremendous because it strikes mainly at young people between the ages of 20 and 40. I urge you to give as generously as you can to the MS Hope Chest, for it's only through scientific and medical research that the cause and the cure of multiple sclerosis will be found. Thank you very much indeed.
In the library, Mother Barbara and Hazel exchanged glances expression as an excited old gentleman outlines his plan.
So, set the date at your earliest convenience, Andrew.
Well, I wanted to say...
And Fanny, the Acme Catering Service will take over every detail of the party. And we'll soon erase all memory of Great Britain.
Possibly he doesn't want to erase all memory of Great Britain, Henry.
Grandfather, well, I was an American citizen. He was born here. And we've got to make him feel at home.
Father, Andy's trying to say something.
Yes, Grandfather. The truth is, I'm rather awkward with girls. I preferred study to social life.
But
I simply had to have scholarships, you see. And so, you'll never be at ease with girls until you've known some. Do you mind if I tell your Aunt Hazel and your grandmother what you told me about that London dance where you stepped on a girl?
I should like to tell it if it's to be told, sir.
Oh, yes, Andrew, yes, go ahead.
Are you sure you want to?
Oh, it's amusing now. There was a ball at school in London, and I took the sister of a chap I know. Well, I was a clumsy oaf. Stepped on the girl's dress, tore it, and took her home after the first dance.
Oh.
I decided right then my place is in the laboratory in the lecture hall. I've not danced since.
That's a very sad story.
Yes.
You learned to dance with your cousins, Andy. You have, how many? Six? Seven? Eight girl cousins, and they all love to dance.
Oh, they are experts. Yeah, you built up a fear, Andrew, which will dissolve like mist in the sun when we have the party. Now, the young women, Andrew. There's Miss Sandra Spencer, Miss Pamela Orcutt, Miss Cindy Holtzman, all beautiful, all native-born San Franciscans, daughters of Glen Hunter's partners and grandfather. I'm going to have to ask you
Hello?
Not...
Hello, anybody home?
I'm Nicholas.
Yes, yes.
Come in the library, Nicholas. Come and see who's here.
You brought my car back, Nicholas?
Oh, yes, it ran very well for... Well, Andy, how good to see you.
Uncle Nicky, hello, sir.
Ah.
You've not changed a bit.
Oh, you're going to be a very popular young man. Well, let me have a look at you. Ah, how very much like Cliff.
I consider that a...
Andrew, we're delighted to have you home again.
Thank you, sir. I told Grandmother I have very pleasant memories of the Sky Ranch, and I can hardly wait to see you again.
Well, we're driving back up there this afternoon. Will you come along?
Oh, I should love to.
But what's this about your car, Henry?
I told you.
Not a word. You always think you've told me things and you haven't. Where have we heard that before?
I'll tell it once more. Pinky borrowed my car to go to the Sky Ranch. It wouldn't start, so he came back in the pickup truck.
Well, what happened was not the car's fault, Father Barber. The lad got his tremendous news. Why, I suppose you've heard, Andrew, that Pinky inherited the fortune?
Oh, yes, I heard. I'm trying to adjust it to it.
Well, when he got the news, he was too shaken to drive.
Poor darling.
Poor darling. $1 million less taxes. Poor darling.
Oh. Well, at any rate, we kept him overnight, and then even the next morning he was in something of a daze. He'd run the battery down, and when we talked him out of driving, he hadn't bothered to turn off the ignition.
Oh, dear.
I can fully understand
it. Exactly, Andrew. Proper behavior under the circumstances.
Well, the battery is now recharged. Claudia followed me down in the station wagon. She's doing a bit of shopping. We're going back this afternoon. Like very much to take you along, Andrew.
But I am making arrangements for a welcome home party, Nicholas.
I must ask you not to give a party, Grandfather.
Huh?
I shall have a very heavy schedule at school next fall, and I want to spend the summer getting reacquainted with the family. So, thank you ever so much, but there can be no party. I really must insist.
Yes. Very well, Andrew. Very well.
More of the barbers in just a moment. This is Frank Blair. You're listening to music from the Far East, recorded in northern India by UNESCO, a branch of the United Nations. The music has a ritual significance which is unknown to most Westerners, just as some of the habits, customs, and political attitudes of the people of the Orient are strange to us. But in a world in a constant state of crisis, it is of vital importance that we be informed of, that we understand events in the Far East. How, with the time-consuming duties of running a home, can you keep up with important but distant discussions with news on the hour on most of these NBC stations? In the Henry Barber's library later in the afternoon...
Fanny, I would call Andrew's behavior ungracious in the extreme.
Now, Henry, your father, Nicky invited you to drive at the Sky Ranch with him. Why didn't you go? You cannot live a young person's life for him, Henry. When will you learn?
Kidnapped him home one day. Hello, goodbye. Off to the Sky Ranch.
I'll fix the salad, Mother. Oh, thank you, Hazel. Don't forget, Pinky and Consider will be back here for dinner.
I know. I thought they'd be on the town. That's a pleasant surprise, too.
Two? What other pleasant surprise was there?
Oh, we were saying that Andrew seems to have more spunk than Clifford had at the same age. He stood right up to you, Henry. Now admit it. Aren't you proud?
Yeah, there's good stuff there, Fanny. Between you and me, I was delighted. Where could you find a better boy to carry on the family name?
Man Family, which comes to you Monday through Friday, is written by Harlan Ware and directed by Carlton E. Morse. This program has been selected to be heard by our armed forces overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. In Chapter 62, Book 126, Jealousy Defined. Frank Barton speaking. One Man's Family, winner of 44 national awards, now in its 26th year, is a Carlton E. Morse production and comes to you from California.